Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Pan. How very grateful I am you're listening to me on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 2017. Wow. If you're listening to me at this hour, at this time, this day, you got to be special. And I want to thank you for listening. We're going to talk a little bit about Christmas. We're going to talk a little bit about hopefully the bigger picture. I want to remind you that this radio program is all of our offerings on the Aspire website at aspire.org are there because of the donations that have been made and the sponsorship that has occurred through people who understand the nature of the program, me, what I'm trying to do, and offering you a chance to also maybe make a move towards love. And that's what this is all about making some kind of move towards love inside of yourself that is beyond the pedestrian mentality. So I am very grateful you chose to be with me. I'm very grateful for my sponsors. I want to thank them. Our mystery donor is matching. You could make a Christmas Eve donation right now that would probably change the whole complexion of everything on radio by making a Christmas Eve donation, going to the website at aspire.org. You go there, you will see support. If you pull that down, it will say why support Aspire. We'll tell you all about what we do with your donations. And you can sign up there or whenever you want. You can sign up, just hit sponsorship, support. You can do it there. Become a sponsor. There are so many gifts you get for being a sponsor. My podcast, video cast, commentaries, message of the month, and 122 beautiful discourses I did for TV series that I've done over the years. And they're all there for you to download or listen to, whatever you want. They're a gift. And believe me, they're important in this day and age. On the Eightfold Path of Buddha, Kahil Gibran will be coming up this coming year. And you'll be able to listen to those discourses. But right now, they're on the website for you. There's so many beautiful things about Socrates, a life worth living. Really, there is a great deal of information and insight there for all of you, and I hope that you will avail yourself of it by becoming a sponsor. You know, I get these emails and I save them because I think, well, you know, this is a Thanksgiving one or this is a Halloween one, but this is a New Year's, but here are the Christmas ones. Now, these were sent. The three of these, let me look. They were sent earlier this month. So I didn't keep them. These are fresh, brand new, wonderful, and I think you're going to get a kick out of them, okay? And I hope that they serve you well. First one comes from Clyde. He does not tell me where he lives. Okay, Greg, I think you are a humbugger too, just like me. If I'm wrong about this, please tell me, what does Christmas mean to someone like you who doesn't necessarily believe in Jesus? Clyde, I don't know where you got the idea that I don't believe in Jesus, because that is simply not true. I don't believe in him as Christians do. I see him as the most premier spiritual master of his day in the Middle East. I think he was incredibly precise. I am humbled by his teachings and the Beatitudes. I think he changed many things in certain people who were around him, not as many as Christianity would have you believe. I think that he was a superb and deeply disciplined human being who lived beyond the mechanism of mediocre mentality. He was awakened, totally awakened. And I think he was probably one of the most beautiful masters we've ever had on the face of this earth. I do. I think he was magnificent. His teachings are superb. I mean, just to give a critique of his teachings by someone like me is arrogant. So I don't want to go into that. I just want to say it is absolutely beautiful. He was absolutely beautiful. So I don't believe, you know, that he sits on the right-hand side of God. I don't believe he was born of a virgin birth. I don't believe that he was sent here by God as God's only begotten son, that kind of thing. I think there's a lot of misnomers in all of this, and it leads people to forget what it is that's truly important. So I, that's where I am on Jesus. So you ask me, you say, okay, I think you're a humbugger like me about Christmas. What is wrong with us? I think Christmas trivializes the message Jesus offered and gave to the world. Definitely made it trivial. I think his teachings were so deep, so superior to anyone else who was ever, you know, around in those days, that to take Christmas and make it a matter of gifting, of spoiling the whole experience of what he was about through gratification is a travesty. And it is a great commentary on human beings in general. I find them to be trivial. I find them to be self-gratifying to such a degree that it's nauseating. I'll just be honest with you. It's just nauseating. So when you see these commercials of the family time, you know, and you'll see them, GM's got a commercial out, you know, Christmas is about family times. Well, okay, there's nothing wrong with having family time, I guess, but not under the guise of the birth of a man who was totally enlightened, who came to this experience and offered us the alternative to our gratifications. And so when you start to look at it from the point of view of the seriousness of our situation in this world, I mean, we're on the brink of war all the time. We're on the brink of starvation all of the time. We have fragile people all over the place that are about ready to break. Suicide is up. There are so many things wrong with this world and how we have lived in this world that there is very little commentary needed on that part. So to take the opportunity of maybe recognizing the birth of a man's existence here on earth who was totally awakened and make it something of a, what do we want to call it, a orgy of food, gifts, and emotion, to trivialize it down to the idea that it's about sales and department stores and Amazon and all that other stuff, in light of how desperately discombobulated we are in this world with ourselves, with other people, with peace on earth. I mean, it's just ridiculous to have a candy cane in your mouth when screaming peace on earth, goodwill towards men, and then turn around and do some very heinous things in the name of vengeance or pride. Just over the top for me. So I'm a humbugger and a booger about Christmas, as it were, because of the way it's celebrated. It needs to be celebrated in quiet, but I don't think it should be done on the 25th of December. I think it should be done every day in our heart. There needs to be a place in our heart where we listen to the teachings of Jesus in the most sacred manner. And if we listen to them in that sacredness and in the manner of which they were delivered and their intent, then you have something extremely beautiful occurring within you. Christmas is not a day on the calendar. It isn't even real. Jesus was not born on the 25th of December. This is about sales and money and all that other stuff. But Americans don't care about that. We don't care about anything. We don't care about how our political system works, who's doing what to whom. Oh, we hear a lot of arguments about it, but nobody does anything about it. And the same thing is true about Christmas. It is far more than just the experience of me going out and buying presents and giving them to people and gratifying them and making their hopes and dreams come true. You know, I was watching a football game the other day. Yes, I was. And I didn't know that this was engagement season, you know? Yeah, Jared's or one of these whatevers were on K Jewelers. This is engagement season. I just shook my head. Really, so guys, you need to get out there. This is the season and get that diamond ring for her and get engaged so you can be miserable like the rest of the people in this world who are married. You just don't understand that it isn't about human love. It isn't about going out and getting a ring and inoculating yourself in human love again and again and again. There's something more to this life than that, and very few people are interested. We are so far from the spiritual path as a world, as a country, that people like me who talk like this just in random fun sound like heretics, and I hear you. So there you are, Clyde. Please forgive me. Namaste. Next one comes from Kim, and this is a dilly whopper too, in a funny kind of way. Greg, I don't understand why we can't have Christmas all year round. Well, Kim, which Christmas are you talking about? First of all, most people couldn't afford to have the kind of Christmas that they want to have or will have tomorrow or maybe tonight, every day of the year, okay? Because Christmas to people is a celebration of everybody getting what they want. Kim, everybody loves everybody as long as they're getting what they want. That's the love that is here on this earth. I love you if you're giving me what I want. If you're not giving me what I want, then I don't love you anymore. Okay? And I am worried about if you love me. I was reading an article on Vox. It was about one of my students pointed it out to me. It was very kind. About hospice, where I work every week, and whether or not people were, as they were leaving their bodies, concerned about certain things, and they're only concerned about two things. If people like them or love them, and if they showed other people that they loved them or were responsive to that love. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. This is human emotion. If you love, if you truly love Kim, every day is Christmas. Every day. So if you're in the state of a great love that lives within you, and you are moving in that great love, and you are breathing in that great love, then you have found great love. And that's all you need. Anything else just isn't true. So you can sit there day after day after day after day, thinking in terms of wanting everybody to be nice to each other. But the truth of the matter is that ain't going to happen, because hate is still very important to human beings. Now, whether you like to know this or not, or believe it or not, it really doesn't matter. We are in love with hate. And I say in love because we're emotional. And that's what people consider. Everything has to be emotional. What if I told you love had nothing to do with emotion? True love had nothing to do with emotion, had nothing to do with how I felt about you or you felt about me in an emotional way. What if love was much bigger than emotionality? What if? That would be truly something spectacular, would it not? And that would change many things inside of me. I wouldn't be concerned about who loved me or who didn't, who liked me or who didn't like me. I wouldn't be concerned about all that. If you want, as you say here, Christmas all year round, you're going to have to discipline yourself. You're going to have to forsake the whole idea of emotion and passion. You're going to have to give up reason and logic. You're going to have to meditate. You're going to have to be devoted to meditation. You're going to have to allow yourself to rise above the whole idea of judgment, of right and wrong, good and bad, liking and even disliking. Now, Kim, if you're up to bat for that, which I would like to believe you are, but I get by your question you're not, then you're on a path. And that path will lead you to your heart, and your heart is love. That's what it's all about. It's not about having everybody be cuddly and fuzzy all the time. People have problems. They have difficulties. There are many people on this Christmas Eve who are struggling desperately with their own life, with their own circumstance, with their conditions, with everything that is difficult in their life. They are struggling. There are many people, millions, billions. So, no matter what we do, everything comes back to the whole idea of what do you believe in? What do you want out of your life? What is important to your living? What is this whole thing of love really all about? Love is without circumstance and condition. It has nothing to do with circumstance and condition. And you must see that. With circumstance and condition comes fear and anger. With fear and anger comes the whole idea of, war, pride, vanity, revenge. You're not going to take the hate out of people. Believe me, you're not. It's too integral. We're entertained by it. We're in awe of it. We think it to be the only way anything can truly happen in this lifetime is through hate. I mean, you get things done, you get her done, and you get her done as much as you can by pushing through. And the emotions are always sitting there responding to genetics and DNA. And just as a DNA animal, which we are, we're a mess. I mean, we're a real mess. I want you to think about your DNA. It's survival of the fittest. Natural selection. There's a lot of very difficult things on this planet that can only be healed through love, but we're not going to do that because we think we know what's right, because we have this sense of loyalty towards the ideal of a justice that does not exist in this world and is not true to the heart of love. So there's the issues. Now you tell me, Kim, why can't we have Christmas all year long? I mean, you tell me. You can't tell me on the radio. That's the beauty of it. But there you are. That's the deal. That's the misery. That's the experience. People don't want to drop into their heart and succumb to love. We succumb to hate and fear. We never surrender to love. We only give ourselves over to hate and fear because we think that moves the train and that gets things done. And that's the sad part about all of us. It's just very, very sad. I share that with you. Kim, thank you for your question. Do your work. Do your own work. Become your own work. Let love live you. Please forgive me. My little rant. Namaste. Everybody wants nirvana here on earth. This is not a place where nirvana is. Last one comes from Lisa, and she says, and her family. This is an interesting one. I used to go to your church in San Diego. And I went to your Christmas candle lighting services every year. They were so beautiful. But they didn't seem to have anything to do with the idea of Christmas. Why, Lisa? Oh, Lisa, you don't see that I'm a nonconformist? I always went and did candle lighting services as a way to redevote ourselves, as if anybody in my audience was devoted, none, devote themselves to love and to the birth of the inner Christ that lives in all of us, this consciousness of Christhood. It wasn't a traditional message. I talked about the Immaculate Conception. I talked about that it wasn't a physical one, that it is something that occurs within the hearts and souls of each and every one of us, as it were. I talked about the meaning of living a life that was spiritual and what it entailed, and that when you lit your candle, you were lighting something within yourself that was beyond the conception of right and wrong, good and bad, up and down, in and out. It was about not being contrary. It was about not being in conflict. The music I chose for the Christmas thing was very difficult. We always ended with a Christmas rose, as you might remember, but it was very, very difficult because all of the Christmas music has words to it that were anti-Greg's Christmas candle lighting ceremony. So no one really knew what I was talking about. In fact, I was thinking about your question in bed last night. I was thinking, you know, if I'm honest, really honest, nobody ever knew what I was talking about at any given time when I was teaching formally any more than they do now. People are so enamored with the outer, and their psychology is already fixed on objects, people, and things, that it makes it very difficult to really understand the nature of Christmas and to understand what I was talking about beyond the concepts of, you know, belief and Bible stuff and all that other. I really am a very pragmatic person, in the sense that a spiritual practice is anything but easy to do in this culture and society. A spiritual practice is anything but popular. It isn't popular. In fact, I feel the authentic way has decreased very quickly, because we're incarnating all sorts of people into this world that simply don't have any relationship with their heart or their being or any interest in it at all. We don't care about love. So we only care about human love and human emotion and blah, blah, blah. So my Christmas candle lighting services, and I'm very grateful you brought this up, were about redevotion, becoming devoted, lighting that light that lives within you towards the light of the Christ that lives within you. And I would talk about that over and over and over again. I have some of those candle lighting services recorded in video. And sometimes I like looking at them and remembering what I went through with audiences. You know, it's a tremendous strain to be in front of an audience that's anticipating a certain message that would undermine their entire life, as opposed to giving them the message that, if you're a caring teacher, you'd like to give them to help them along on their spiritual path. But that doesn't happen very often, that you have anyone in the audience like that. But I am very, very humbled and very grateful that to this day, after all these years, you remember my candle lighting services. And I really do hope that in some way they sparked something inside of you that would help you to come to a place of inner awakening and maybe even love. Who knows? Anyway, I hope so. You have a beautiful Christmas with your family, Lisa. And thank you for being in attendance for any of that. It was an honor. Namaste. Well, there we are, my little Christmas show. Next week, I'll have a New Year's show for you, and that will probably be kind of interesting. I already have the questions for those, and That will be fun. I want to thank you for listening on this beautiful Christmas Eve 2017. And I hope that something I offered here was of service to you. Please forgive me. Hey, have a beautiful day tomorrow. Namaste.